Hello and welcome to I Wish I Knew That About Songwriting, the show that brings you tips, tricks and techniques that we wish we knew as young songwriters. We're going to focus on interviews, resources and subjects that you will find useful and you can use them today. Thank you so much for listening and welcome to the show. Welcome to another insight, and today was a different one. And even when I'm recording content, when I'm writing songs, when I'm working with clients, when I'm doing anything that is a conscious effort to create something that people can have a feeling about, I will feel a pressure, a judging voice. What will people think? How will it affect me? How will it affect my business? What will people think of me? All of these things occur with songwriters, but today is about what I like to call the black room version. It's something that I came up with when I was working with a client. She's called Aisha Staley. You'll find her on Instagram. She's called Schwa, but that's spelt phonetically. So type in Aisha Staley, you should see her. What it is, because Aisha and I both have a shared background in theatre, in drama, they used to do theatre lessons in rooms that were kind of blacked out, so to speak. So they were, instead of seeing the walls, you'd probably see black curtains because it was really conducive to be able to create an environment where you could have plays, create an environment where you could have performances. So I thought, okay, what if you wrote, Aisha? Because she was doing a great job of writing a tune, but I think there was a lot of judgment, a lot of feeling like, obviously I was watching her. That's always the joke. You write with a weird stranger watching you. How do we write without any judgment? And the way I thought about voicing that was, Aisha, how would you write this if you were just in a black room? What is the black room version? And after kind of making a few jokes and laughing about it, we went, hey, let's try it. What ended up happening is she kind of just started to write as though no one was there. That's the cliche. But imagine a piano in the middle of a room. You know, there's wooden floors if you've ever been in a kind of theatre room. And reasonably small, but like black curtains around you. No one is in there. You can't see the doors, the windows, the exits. All you have is a piano. That is what I want people to be able to inhabit. It's not a permanent space because we do need judgment. But when you're creating, I truly believe that you want to be able to go, oh. Like even now when I'm recording these videos, there's a light, there's a camera, there's a recording. There's a few things that my brain is trying to be aware of and make sure I don't fuck up. But when I'm writing, I don't want that pressure. I don't want the tension in my shoulders. I don't want the awareness of what's happening outside. Is that noise going to be heard? These are everywhere. This is the monkey mind. It keeps us safe, but it's also really invasive to a creative process. So back to that idea. If you get to a piano and just go, okay, see the keys, have the song in my head, but it's not right in front of me. Similar to that acting practice where you kind of, you know the lyrics to such a point, they've gone in through the subconscious. They're not sort of floating in front of you where you go, What? It's hopefully you've inhabited a song to a point where you know it so well that you can let it come out. Because when you're letting it come out, that change in body is like, hands are up. Okay, what's the relaxed version? Relaxed version. And for this example, the blackroom version of a song, if I've started writing a song, my blackroom version would be the bit where my blackroom version would be the song where I'm just going, okay, I might play the verse four times to see what it feels like before I go on to a pre. This is not the voice. This is not a recorded writing session. There's something in psychology called observer bias, whereby there can be a study that's perfectly made, but if there is someone watching, if someone in the study is aware there is someone watching, an observer, obviously you have to be a psychologist. It's kind of hard to not be observing. And people know they're in a study, but observer bias can affect the results. Simply by watching, you can change a song, a play. If we all went into a theater, what would be the play if there was no one watching? What would the actors do differently? What would they not have these kind of neurons we have naturally to keep us safe, where we feel like we're being watched, therefore we must behave? It comes from schooling. It comes from our natural environment. It's not just that, but again, we're in the session. I say, Aisha, you're a great singer. Your learning in songwriting has come from your love of pop, like Lady Gaga. I always feel like she's the Welsh Lady Gaga. But also your theatre. Both of those are very kind of flamboyant, what's next, big notes, big changes, crazy things. And we found that her songs might become quite busy. I went, why are you judging yourself so hard? Why can't you just sing something super boring over and over? And literally sort of went, I could, but I was like, what would the black room version of this be? And ended up this really, really cool moment. She plays verse, pre, and the chorus. She just looped it 8, 9, 10 times. Again, like you would if you were playing something without judgment, just playing it to enjoy it, has this really, really interesting feeling. So I want you to do it and think, right now, think, okay, I'm playing my song. Get the song in your head. Knowing the chords. And the Black Room version is not a performance. If you go, oh, fuck, what's the chord again? That's Black Room version. Non-judgmental. Just, okay, playing it. Okay, awesome. You start to feel it out and you go, right, there's a new bit. It's just that. If you take the pressure off, the handbrake off, you might find there's a new section. You might find there's something you can access that you won't when you're under pressure, from yourself, from lights, from recording, from red light fever, which means when there's a recording happening, you suddenly go, ugh. That's why we write songs, perform them, play with them, maybe before we record them. That might be an argument to have these Black Room version tests before you go and record something. Once you record it, you have demoitis. Black Room version came to me again when I had a session with Arye Künstler, wonderful human being. That's the first thing, and a great artist, great performer, all of the above, but really, really wonderful human being. And I loved working with him because I selfishly learned so much about business, about writing, and about the process of writing. But he said to me, I came up with this song, he played me something, I was like, that's great. Session we did yesterday. And by the end of it, we had a beautiful kind of construction. He went through free writing again, he really enjoyed that. But the point with the Black Room version is it sounded like he said, I was playing this loop, playing guitar against a programmed loop for 30 minutes. In my head, I was like, when was the last time I sat on something for 30 minutes before making a creative choice? That is really cool. It's really rare. And a lot of my anxieties that would trigger that anti-Black Room version where I'm going, what should I write? What will people think? And suddenly we've lost it. You're writing something for other people. You're writing something to be accepted in a room. Or, you know, the best songs I've written are when I stood up and just gone, it's this. And everyone's sort of like singing and walking around. And then we go, oh, that's cool. We all just didn't judge each other for a good 4 or 5 hours. And look what we created. Look what happened when we went, okay, Black Room version. I'm almost writing on my own with an awareness of other people. But back to that simple example, Aisha going, despite my vocal talent, my training and my ability, not needing to prove myself, I will sing this hook very simply 10, 15, 20 times. And what ended up happening was this beautiful moment where we put that as the chorus. Then we had these really artful, very kind of gymnastic verse pre with all these movements. And then you hit the chorus and it just feels like a mantra. You're just like, wow, this is like a worship song. It's that simple thing. When you lead people to something beautiful like that, they can actually bask in the simplicity. And we wouldn't have got there if we hadn't gone, okay, Black Room version, what is this? So it's something you can add in while you're writing, but also like, oh yeah, he started writing in a Black Room session, just went, I want to vibe this. For 30 minutes, I'm just going to play, I'm going to jam, I'm going to give myself that space, that time. And from that, I'll write something great because I've allowed all the things to settle. And we joked about, he met a guy, he said, in an Uber, who was telling him about how he writes books. So this Uber driver is driving Aye, one of his shows in Miami. And the guy says, sometimes, or all the time when I write, I sit back and say, I am open. I will receive the creativity. And then he says the books descend upon him and he writes books. We were laughing about that, but he even did it. We went, we'll try it. What does that feel like to go, okay, do something new, do something different that might be silly. I'm ready to receive something creative. And you do it. It's hilarious. But also it's building on that muscle of the creative, the non-judgmental side of songwriting, which is so fucking important. When I started writing songs, my story is my story, but I can picture it now. I'm sat, left-handed guitar, edge of the bed. I'm 14. I've got my notebook. I can see the scribbles, the like D. Didn't know how to call chords. I went D and then you do the finger on and off. And I wrote this song called Heartfelt. That was the first song I wrote, I think. One that I remember anyway. And even though I'm in my room as a kid, and mum's probably trying to sleep, dad's trying to sleep, because we live in a small house. And they would put up with me just singing and writing things, or when I'm at uni. Maybe I never had a real Black Room experience when I've gone to a space where no one can hear me and written a song. What would that sound like? That is the question. It's kind of like a journey. It's like if you wrote a record in writing sessions and then you wrote a record in a cabin where no one can hear or see you ever, I would love to see that experiment. I would love to see what happens. And like always on this show, I'm not to say that one thing is better than the other. The rules are not here to be followed. They're rules to bring you awareness of what you can do in songwriting and then break them, do whatever the fuck you want. But if you are someone that's writing in the modern industry where you're constantly on a camera, like that, constantly on a red light, like this, you're always in a room with people, and we naturally, as humans, because we want to bond, we want to connect, we feel some kind of need to lean towards what someone else might want to do. Or that's what makes for good friendships, relationships, families, all these things. But maybe give yourself that fucking Lady Gaga sat in a meat dress on the top of a massive shoe. What the fuck do I want to say? That is also a blackroom session. You can have that blackroom mindset when you're playing live. Those are the beautiful, beautiful moments when people play live. It's very much the same as like, send me your creativity. I'm in a blackroom. What do I want to play? Is when live, they kind of, you see it sometimes. Because often when they're being filmed or there's videos, like I said, that observer bias, even incredible performers will be like, okay, I'm on stage. I am in front of people. I am this. But the best experiences I've ever had playing on a stage, and actually the best experiences for other people, they told me, was when it was like, I'm not on a stage. I am in this thing. And just, I didn't think about it. Sometimes I've hurt myself because I've gone, oh, I'm actually about to hit this, or my back muscles hurt because I've just like done that. And you just go, okay, find the limits. That's the same with the blackroom versions. If you're playing a song that you know, you won't even be looking for limits if you're judging yourself. But same way with performing or writing a song, is you go, oh, that bit, that's what might lead you to have a really beautiful, like a verse section, like all of these peaks and troughs and changes. But you have faith in that really intricate verse because you've gone, and that means in my chorus, I can go, just play a hook. Repetitiveness is a real key, but not to the point of boredom. That's what I'm thinking. So very simply, if you want to simulate your blackroom session, fuck off all your devices, fuck off all your lights, literally sit in the dark. If you know your instrument or piano that well, you don't have to. But Grace Jackson, when she talked about her songwriting approach, can be like putting a one note drone and then like letting, you know, with all your setups, like we talked about Soundbarrel, all your presets, all the things that are done, so you can be a effective, modern, efficient songwriter. But Grace just going, bum, bum, or bum, and extending it on MIDI, and then going, what's going to happen now? There it is. You create that space for you. It can be in any way, but the blackroom session is, I've in my head, it's a place, Callum and I used to record the podcast. Upstairs, they had this really cool room where they would stream piano sessions. It was blacked around the edges in this piano. So that is a kind of black room. But even that's got windows. Maybe it's better to go cabin version or black room version. It's just a way of thinking. That's all this is about, is a way of thinking about it differently. How do I nurture that creative? How do I do anti-modern media streams, attention, drive? Of course, you might want to come back to that with a beautiful song that you can feed through that. But I don't think shining a white light like this with a red light like this is the best way to be creative. Even me recording these videos, getting used to that, is kind of, how would I sit, if you can hear me, how would I sit if I was relaxed? Very differently to when I'm trying to do something. So there's, of course, there's ups and downs to all of it, but it's interesting for you to experiment what will happen to your song, to your songwriting, and maybe your enjoyment of it. I'm very, very much stuck in a place where I can't write a song because I have a project. When I've got a project, it's easier because I know where all the tools are going, but maybe I need to write a blackroom song that no one ever hears and it's not recorded and I just enjoy doing it. That's a challenge. That's something for me to face. But I throw that to you. Can you write a blackroom song and not record it? That's crazy. Play it until you remember it. 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour, 6 hours. None of us really have that time. I'm aware of that, but think about it. Different way to think about writing songs. How do you nurture your creativity? Try it and let us know, or don't do it for you. That's the point. Hello there, sweet listener. Thank you for listening to today's show. And I just wanted to say, we do have an Instagram. I know that some of you guys are quite interested in just sending those private emails, and I promise you they are absolute gold dust to me. And I love receiving those emails when people get time to send them with their songs, with their questions. And mainly, I love your stories about how you're listening to the show, where you found it, what it means to you. Those are the things I'll probably take to my grave, to be completely honest. But if you want to be out there on social media, please get in touch. I wish I knew that pod on Instagram. We're going to be getting stuff up on YouTube as well. Reach out, send me a DM, send me a voice note, send me a video. I want to see you guys. I want to see your shows. I want to hear your songs. Thank you again for listening to the show. If you want to be involved and get full value for your creative process, please do so. But if you're one of those wonderful people that just likes to sit and observe, I know you're out there, and thank you so much for your attention. It really does mean a lot. So no need to get in touch, but if you feel like you want to be involved, please do so. Much love and bye-bye.